Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 68, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. For thy name's sake, hear thou me. For thy mercy, Lord, I wait. Pardon my iniquity, for my sin is very great. And what follows, Psalter 68, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 2 Peter 1. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. 2 Peter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, and knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We hope to remember in prayer that on Friday, Miss Miranda Vandenberg hopes to commemorate her 22nd birthday, and Mr. Simon van Wieringen hopes to become 89. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then thou wast granted in the way of thy great mercy, the way of thy long suffering, and in the way of thy providence, that thou wast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, another soul's mark a day, and then we may meet one another by renewal within the walls of thy house of prayer. Then in the midst of the trials and difficulties of life, then thou hast showered us with many blessings from above. Then thou wast not done as we deserve. And, Lord, may thou grant an impression thereof in this very moment of thy great goodness over us and our children, where thou wast graciously watched over each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest, wherever we have been in this week, in the home, on the way, at work, at school. Lord, may thou grant humble and broken hearts and a profound impression who have been the recipients of those blessings. Then there is not one in this morning hour that can say that they have deserved it. And we have sung together with the psalmist the prayer for the pardoning of iniquity. And then the psalmist is added, for my sin is very great. And then also, Lord, then when we come up to thy house, then it is so good, it is so necessary, it is so profitable. Thou hast commanded it in thy word that we are given to reflect on the past, to consider the present, but also to think of what lies before us, that we are all travelers to a never-ending and an all-decisive eternity. And then we do well to examine our hearts, whether it has been a good week, whether it has been a profitable week, for our never-dying soul, Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house. Thou hast a people upon the earth that learn more and more that it all comes from above. And what comes from above, the work of a triune God, that shall return unto thee in the way of prayer and of thanksgiving. We humbly ask thee, do richly dwell amongst us, and may thy word go forth with power divine, that in this hour, among young and old, that sinners may be wrought upon, that they may be engrafted into thee, to become new creatures, mourning creatures, seeking creatures, with a desire and a longing in their heart for thee and for thy righteousness. Then we become poor in spirit, and then we become a mourner. But, Lord, in thy true work, then we remain a mourner with that godly sorrow over our sin. Then we remain poor in self. But when thou showest it unto us, then thy people become rich in another through the meritorial work of thy dear Son. The apostle has declared, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he has become poor, that through his poverty ye might be rich. That is the only hope for us and our children. Go so from bench to bench and from heart to heart, for those lawfully hindered, forget not all the dwellings, and do grant a blessing to young and old, Lord. Then thou yet maketh a great difference with us and our children, that we freely, that we unhindered can and may come up to thy house. Oh, there are countries at war, and wilt thou remember that people that have lost so much, perhaps the house of God no place to worship, and because of danger and not unable to come up. There are many countries where there is persecution, Lord, that we take it not all for granted. Then we commend unto thee the manifold needs. Do remember all the mourning ones amongst us, widowers, widows, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Do continue to uphold, do comfort, and above all, that the solemn callings, that they may be sanctified for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. Lord, we lay before thee all the sick and afflicted. There are serious concerns amongst us. Thou knowest them all. May it please thee to remember, to bless the means, grant a place at thy footstool, and sanctify all the callings, those that stand in need of healing and strengthening. Wilt thou grant patience, and wilt thou grant healing? We commend unto thee all the handicapped ones, the crosses and the burdens, the difficulties and the trials, and to remember all the elderly ones in our midst that have come to the evening of their life. Remember our Bethesda, their residents, and all those that may lovingly care for them. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters, those that have went astray, that are seeking it elsewhere. Do keep us and our dear children under that old truth, the old ways, and that by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that it may be experienced, because then we shall love that truth. Then we shall be willing to sacrifice for the same, and then we shall strive for that old truth, because thou hast a church upon the earth. They have learned that if anything had to be added, even a sigh, it would be eternally lost. But the free and sovereign grace, the work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the only hope for us and our children. And thou hast appointed the means of grace to that end, and thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. And to that end we humbly beg of thee that thou may grant a rich blessing in this morning. We humbly ask thee for thy help. We read in thy word of a few loaves and of a few fishes, and that they were multiplied by thee, wilt thou do it in this morning? Open thy precious testimony and open all of our hearts. And then we have to confess sin the way undeserved, forfeited, but O Lord, thou hast said unto the children of Israel, that I do it not for your sake, but I do it for my great name's sake. Glorify then thy great name in the midst of us and our children. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 35, the first five stanzas. Since with my God, with perfect heart, I walk and make his word my guide, and from iniquity depart, the Lord his blessing will provide. And the extra collection today is for the Bethesda debt reduction, Psalter 35, the first five stanzas. in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in 2 Peter 1 and there of verse 8, where God's word and our text reads thus: For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text words speak of heavenly advancement and growth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, with three thoughts. In the first place, upon a given grace wrought by Christ. Secondly, by spiritual diligence through Christ. And in the third place, a sure promise concerning the knowledge of Christ. Heavenly advancement and growth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Upon a given grace wrought by Christ, by spiritual diligence through Christ, and a sure promise concerning the knowledge of Christ. Beloved congregation, we may consider the second epistle of Peter as his latter will of the dying apostle, because we have heard it in this chapter that his departure was at hand, that he would soon offer and sacrifice himself for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the beginning of this letter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, begins a little different than the first epistle, because the first he is written an apostle of Jesus Christ to the stranger scattered, and the Lord has a people upon the earth that become strangers and pilgrims upon this evil world, where they have set their faces Zionwards, and then they shall experience many a trouble and many affliction. But now in this letter, then Peter has not only said Peter, but he has begun with Simon Peter, and Simon was his former name, and the church of God, they forget not their former life, David, in Psalm 25, when he has become older, then he has prayed in verse 7, sins of youth remember not. And then he has also added in this epistle, a servant, a God's people remain servants and handmaidens to the very end. And they remain, as they read in Zephaniah 3, verse 12, and I also will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And now in this chapter, because of Peter has written it when he was before the gates of eternity, and that all people of God has said that the children of God, that they do well to lay their experience before death. And so with Peter ready to enter into eternal glory, then by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then he has taken up his pen, and then he has written this letter to the church of God, and he has exhorted them concerning growth. And then this first chapter, then undoubtedly, people of God, how is it now with this chapter? Then we do well to examine ourselves, and then there are many reasons to be ashamed, because Peter has written of profound things. And now concerning the growth of grace, then our boys and girls can understand that there needs to be something. Last Sunday we have heard of that little shoot that was engrafted into Jesus Christ, and then through Christ, then that little branch is given to grow more leaves and also fruit. The same thing with a child. When there is no child, there cannot be growth. But now, and therefore our first point, because when we read in our text, and if these things be in you and abound, and that refers to the verses 5-7, then there needs to be a work of free and sovereign grace glorified in our hearts. Then we need to be quickened by the Spirit to experience those precious things of the Lord. And then we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. All things are passed away, they are all become new. And to that end, before the verses that our text refers to, for if these things be in you and abound, and that is an important question, boys and girls, young people and older ones, are now these things in us? Has the Lord now begun that good work? Or are we still a thistle? As I read in Isaiah 55:13, but now the wonder of free and sovereign grace, that it is written in that verse, that instead of a thorn shall come up a myrtle tree, and instead of a briar a fir tree, and it shall be for a sign an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Then the necessity that we are given to us fervently, even with our tongue, that it may please God Almighty, the God of all grace, that he may glorify that grace in our hearts, because then only there can be a growth. And it is true, in the life of the true child of God, that little plant that is given to grow by the grace of God, as I read in Mark 4:28, a root downward, a blade upward, that little shoot that may be engrafted, then there comes many a storm upon that little plant. There are those times that they are afraid that it shall come to naught, but it shall and cannot be, because the Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands. And now for Simon Peter, the servant of the Most High, then he is given to speak of that precious work, and that is a statement of examination to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Thus that implies not all people, but that is the chosen church of the Lord. Thus that precious faith, wrought in its essence in beginning, and by the Spirit each time by renewal for its exercise, and then the apostle is given to speak through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When we read the scriptures concerning the Lord's righteousness that flows forth out of his perfect holiness, his pureness, and that the Lord must punish sin, but then there is also spoken through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as I read in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. And then the benediction in verse 2. And then Peter is given to explain the precious blessings of that covenant of grace, that wonderful, that supernatural, that astonishing work, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Thus then Simon Peter is given to stress that it is by that divine, by that almighty power, that wonderful work of free and sovereign grace, which is granted to the child in the moment of regeneration, and how that divine power that gives life, and as a fruit of that new life, then there shall be godliness, it shall be seen. Christ, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, has so clearly written of those matters that by their fruit ye shall know them, this congregation. It shall be experienced in the heart, and it is true at the beginning. Then we can try to hide it, but it cannot remain hid. It shall become visible with our desires and with our life, that they go out to the living God, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Then in this epistle, Peter, we find that verb knowledge in different forms. We find it 16 times. Thus it is not a blind faith, not a faith upon emotions and feelings. No, it does not go without. When the Lord works, it shall be with feelings, and it shall be with emotions, but it must be grounded upon the holy word of God. And the Lord has a people upon the earth that find their experience explained in the precious word of God. Ah, then they find those companions where the saints of old have declared. Ah, think of the Psalms of David with his prayers and with his praise through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. And then in verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And those exceeding and precious promises, they have an address that people are explained, and there are souls that may be included. And of course, all the promises of God for the living church, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But now the child of God, they desire a personal promise that it may be applied. And people, when that happens, then there comes that pleading upon the promise. There comes a waiting upon the fulfillment. We read in Psalm 119, verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Great and precious promises, that by these ye might be made partakers of the divine nature, we read in Romans 8, verse 29, of a people that become conformable to the image of Christ, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Thus, that is the fruit of becoming partakers of the divine nature, where the Holy Spirit takes up habitation in the heart of His people, and then the fruit, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But it is only in beginning. And now for the true child of God, then there shall be those exercises and that continually godly sorrow over our sin. Ah, that warfare with that triple-headed enemy. Ah, the church in the beginning. They had hoped that they would escape all that corruption and all that is of the world. But it is a mark of the true child of God. Romans 7. Think of the holy apostle Paul, who was led so far into these mysteries, come to a saving knowledge of a triune God. Then he was given to speak of that wretched man, and that separates the precious from the vile. Ah, the true church of God, there shall be those continually exercises. This first, Peter has laid the foundation, free and sovereign grace, the work of grace in the heart of his child. And upon that foundation, therefore, our first point was upon a given grace wrought by Christ. But now the apostle, at the end of his life, eternity before him, with an enlarged and burning heart for the church of God here upon the earth, would be read to the whole congregation. Then Peter has continued to give earnest admonishments for the living child, and that is our second thought. By spiritual diligence through Christ, because our text says, if these things be in you, and then Peter is referring to the verses 5 through 7, and upon those things the Lord has promised his special blessings for the child of God. And when Peter exhorts in the verses 5 through 7 many different matters, then he does not say that the church is able. Nevertheless, the duties are commanded in the Word of God. And now the child of God needs to learn by the first time and by renewal concerning those duties commanded, that it is only possible through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is when the child may need him continually, and that he becomes only more precious as prophet, priest, and king. And now concerning the benefits of the covenant of grace, then what Christ has commanded in his word, that he has merited for his church, and that he gives unto them freely by the operation of the Holy Spirit. And now concerning the duties commanded, than Reverend Hellenbrook, we have learned it in our youth. Then he has asked the question, are then all commands as well as threatenings and promises of God in vain? No, for these are the means that God uses to operate upon man as a rational creature to the discharge of his duty. For if these things be in you, and then the apostle is referring, and maybe there are people when we speak of these things, then we become a little uncomfortable. Many times church people like to stay in their comfort zone, excusing themselves, blaming everything on the Lord, that they are still unconverted, but also in the life of a child of God when they read these verses, because it is for examination. For if these things be in you, oh, then how often the child of God needs to hang his head down in shame, and that they have to confess, Lord, I am so far off of my place. Perhaps when they think of the beginning and they read these verses, then it was so real, so lively, so tender, bound at the throne of grace. And beside this, in verse 5, that speaks of the first four verses, the almighty and gracious work of the Lord in the heart of his people. And beside this, that is the command and the exhortation that Reverend Hellenbrook has also spoken of. We think of Christ has also commanded his church to watch and pray. And beside this, giving all diligence, and that word diligence in the Greek, that means with all speed, earnestness, and eagerness. Then these verses, if it is right, then it should bring the true child of God on their knees and say, Ach, Lord, wilt thou shed thy love abroad? Because when that love is shed abroad, then we become eager and then we become diligent. And now the apostle was before his death with a heart full of love. Then he was given to admonish the church. And beside this, speaks of the beginning work, but also the furtherance. But then further, what does he say? Give a little diligence, some diligence. That's not what he says, boys and girls. But the apostle says, give all diligence. Let's not say they aren't able of themselves. But the Lord has given means, give all diligence to add to your faith. And that is true saving work. Hope to hear of that in this evening. That is the work of the Lord, and what a questions there can be concerning that faith. But then the apostle is given to admonish for the welfare of the church. Add to your faith virtue. In our day, that word speaks more of morality. But in Bible times, in the Greek, then it refers more to strength and courage, being active and not being idle and not becoming weary and faint. As the psalmist in Psalm 69, verse 9, hath declared, that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And then further, and we must not understand the apostle all writes, that first one, when we have that, then we add something else. It is a continual work, all combined. And what Peter is given to write, then those different graces to help and to encourage one another. Do we not read in John 1 verse 16, for out of his fullness have we received grace for grace? And James is written in chapter 4 verse 6, of more grace. And then further, and to virtue, knowledge. That word knowledge in verse 5, that in the Greek language is a different word than we find in verse 8 in our text. That verse in verse 5, that word in verse 5, that refers to a knowledge that we receive. And that is a knowledge based upon the Word of God. We have heard it at the end of this chapter that Peter was given to speak of that Word. And it must be accompanied by prayer, of course. In a short epistle, the apostle could not write everything. But in the first epistle, there are three times he is written especially of prayer. And then first in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. And that speaks of husbands and wives. The husband must dwell with her as with understanding, that your prayers be not hindered. That's where it must begin. In the family circle. And then in the verse, in 1 Peter 3, verse 12, his ears are open unto their prayers, unto the prayers of the righteous. And in chapter 4, verse 7, be therefore sober and watch in prayer. And to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, self-constraint, moderation, using the world and not abusing it. Apostle is written to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. First epistle. As written to strangers and to pilgrims. And those pilgrims, they put not their pens too deep. Thus temperance. And when that shall be exercised, then there shall be persecution. And therefore to that end, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, also when persecution, the trials, the troubles, then what a patience is necessary. When we read Romans 5, the verses 3, verse 5, for we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh experience, and experience patience, and a patience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because of the love of God that is spread abroad in her heart. And that word patience in the Greek language, that also refers to being cheerful in that patience. Not in the way of murmuring, but to be cheerful and to endure. And to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, to be like unto God, that the luster of the church may shine forth, that young and old may become jealous. Do we not read of Peter and John when they were brought before the council and they received such a liberty to speak that they perceived that they had been with Jesus? Thus godliness, by their fruits ye shall know them, that the church may be the light and the salt of the earth. Jesus has begun the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, that people that are blessed. And then he has added that godliness, that the church must be the salt of the earth, and as a light, a city upon a hill. And then further, then Peter has spoken of profound things, has given much for the church to think about. To say it simply, boys and girls, then Peter has given the children of God much homework. To examine themselves how it is concerning these matters, whether there is true an adding, because our text is what the promise is about. And if these things be in you, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, that refers more to the kindness of those that are close to us, the family circles, the congregation, the church, and then finally, and to brotherly kindness, charity, and that is to all men, that we are help for one another, that we reach out in all ways. Is this now necessary for the church? What do you think, congregation? Are these commands to duty? Are they now necessary for the living child of God? It's not me and my unconverted friends that you go free. Also a command for you. But of course, oh, have you thought about it? With me there can be no adding, because the Lord has not begun. Ah, may you be given to beg, that the Lord may make that beginning. And then there must be that growth, and there must be those exhortations. What do you think now, congregation? Are these exhortations now necessary for the child of God? Oh, I hope that there may be a few. Word is so tender, and word is so lively, and so zealous, that you are so busy with the things of the Lord, and given to experience the Lord's help, the work of the Spirit, that close life at the throne of grace. Oh, then I hope there may be a few that may say at the moment, may be so tender, so lively, so close at the throne of grace. But are there also those that have to say, it is very necessary, not what I should be, not what I ought to be. Oh, it's a blessing when with that old John Newton, when he was given to meditate and speak out of 1 Corinthians 15 of the wonderful works of grace, that he could say that I am not what I ought to be, not what I wish to be. Oh, not what I once hoped to be, when I may be taken into glory. But that he could say, that by the grace of God, I am not what I used to be. That new life. But those necessary exhortations. The child of God needs to beg, Lord, keep me on a short rope. Then it is necessary each time for the child to confess his sins, to repent of his sins. What a privilege when we fall into sin and that the Lord keeps us on a short rope. Peter has experienced it, that it was all of grace. In the first epistle he has written, 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God when he has so grievously denied his master. Then Jesus has turned himself and looked. And then Peter went out and wept bitterly. These exhortations, they are so necessary because of that triple-headed enemy, our flesh, the world with all its vanities, the cares of the world, the busyness, but also the devil. But now, Peter, to encourage, is a word of examination. For if these things be in you and abound, and then a special promise, that is our third thought. Let us first sing of Psalter 100, the four stanzas. Forever trusting in the Lord, take heed to do as well. So shalt thou dwell within the land. And what follows? Psalter 100, the four stanzas. heavenly advancement and growth concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Upon a given grace, by spiritual diligence, and now thirdly, a sure promise concerning the knowledge of Christ. For if these things be in you and abound, what shall the orchard man do, congregation, when they do not abound? What does the orchard man do when he has engrafted that branch into a stalk, to a trunk, and he comes to examine that branch oftentimes, and there are many branches and many leaves, but not much fruit? Then that orchard man, boys and girls, he grabs his pruning shears, and then he prunes that branch. And when that does not take place in the life of a child of God, when those fruits are not so evident in a declining and a backslidden state, then they do well to examine whether they are indeed a branch of that great husbandman. But now the promise, but that is by grace, we have heard it out of the first verses. But if these things be in you and abound, and that is by a faithful use of the means of grace, because the Lord has appointed those means to that end, and then a special promise, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. And that word barren, that means to be inactive, unemployed, idle, quite useless. But if these things be in you, then you shall be much exercised concerning the things of God. Oh, people of God, when we read that text, should it not lead to much prayer? Lord, take me by heart and by hand. Wilt thou grant that there may be that adding? And that is in a way that we lose more and more of self. John the Baptist has said in John 3, verse 30, he must increase and I must decrease. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. And then the apostle is given to speak of the increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Peter, he could clearly tell of those matters. Oh, he could tell of a beginning. He could tell of a time that was such a delight, was such a zeal, much love, but not so much knowledge yet. It's what the church learns. They learn much on the school of Jesus. Need to unlearn much. But now Peter could tell how he is sad under that prophetical ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we would ask Peter, but what about that kingly office, he would say, oh, I have chosen for him to be my king. Although there was still much of an earthly kingdom in those thoughts, nevertheless, the good choice. But what about the priestly office? then Peter would have to tell us there was a time that I was an enemy of that priestly office. Because when Christ has explained it to us, then he says, Lord, it shall never be. But then Peter could tell of an increase in that knowledge. Oh, on Good Friday, the payday for the church, and opened up for Peter. Oh, he was seen of Simon, we read in Luke 24. And then that evening he showed those pierced hands, that pierced side, and he opened their understanding. Oh, then Peter could tell us that that priestly office was opened. So precious, applied on ascension, receive a place back in the further heart of God, and on the day of Pentecost, the sealing work of the Holy Spirit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter has added some special reasons to encourage the church. And then the solemn admonition in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Thus when the church lacketh these things, then they do not look backward and they do not look forward. Not given to reflect upon the wonderful work of grace which the Lord grants for his children, the benefits which they have received, but under that condition, they do not look so much forward. They do not look afar off to Emmanuel's land. They are not such strangers, so busy here below with the timely things, and we need to go through the world. We are to be diligent. We must work hard. But when we lack these things, not given to reflect, look backwards what has taken place, and not given to look forward. And then in verse 10, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Not first election and then calling, but first calling and then election. Because by our calling, by the fruits of grace, then we may be assured and believed that we are written in the book of the Lamb. And then Peter has added another special reason, and that concerns, for if these things be in you, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the sinner's side, then Peter has written in 1 Peter 4 verse 18 that the righteous are scarcely saved. There's a narrow way, and the gate is very straight. But all for the people of God, to encourage them, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Then Peter is saying, child of God, a close life, a tender life, bound at the throne of grace, the Lord is free. But then the Lord usually although there can still be much pride that needs to be subdued. And therefore, on a deathbed for the true child of God, and how the devil can come to assault, nevertheless, as a general rule, for those souls that are not strangers to those graces, perhaps they do not even speak so much, but can be seen. A tender life, godly sorrow, repentance, faith, pleading the promises. And then Peter has said, shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, what an abundant entrance it shall be for the true child. An entrance by a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then what a welcome it shall be. We say it reverently, because we read in Luke 15, verse 10, that there shall be joy the angels of heaven over one sinner that repenteth. But what a joy there shall be, reverently speaking, welcomed by all the angels in heaven, that the Master's house is becoming full. But also what a meeting it shall be for the child of God when they shall be given to meet those that have went before, that with their souls have sung the praises of the Lord for a longer or shorter time, if these things be in you. And that is now the question. Need to be grace in beginning, but also the furtherance that those additions which Paul has admonished to, then we do well to examine ourselves. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, we read in Matthew 3, verse 10, of an unfruitful tree, that the axe is laid to the root of the tree, therefore every tree which brings forth not good fruit shall be hewn down, cast into the fire. And we have heard it last week out of John 15, that those branches that have been engrafted, that the husbandman prunes them, that they may bring forth more fruit, that they may be prepared for eternal glory. And then further in this epistle in chapter 2, then Peter has spoken of the heirs that would creep into the church. And in chapter 3, concerning the coming of Christ to judgment, and we shall close with chapter 3, the verses 10 and 11, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, into which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard out of thy precious word of the wonders of thy free and sovereign grace, that work which thou worketh in beginning, but also solemn exhortations concerning the furtherance and special promises thereupon. Lord, where there is no beginning, how wilt thou work it today? That those words, what manner of persons ye ought to be, that it may be imprinted upon all of our hearts. And Lord, where thou hast begun, we have heard a separation between the precious and the vile. Then there shall be those additions, but also solemn exhortations. How wilt thou grant unto thy people a tender, a close life, bound at the throne of grace, increasing in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we commend unto thee the confession of faith class when we hope to meet together. May the instruction be blessed. Remember the family circles. May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Wilt thou return us in this evening hour and pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 367, the fifth stanza. I will cause the might of David evermore and more to grow. On the path of my anointed, I will make a lamp to glow. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a Reformation Day service on Thursday evening, October 31st at 7:30 p.m., and there will be one collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society, 367, stanza 5. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.